In this podcast, we will be talking with Celeste Taylor, the goat herd manager for Integration Acres, Athens, Ohio.
My name is Celeste Taylor, and my farm is called Black Sheep Farm. And mostly what I'm here for is that I am the farm manager for Integration Acres, and I take care of all their goats. So.
And what does that mean, to take care of all their goats? What are the jobs that are involved in that?
Well, I make sure that everybody's in good health. So right now it's the off season and they're not lactating. So I'm going there. Chris is there every day, making sure they have water every day. But I'm there 3 days a week right now. I give them a small ration of grain to make sure they're keeping good body condition. I check and make sure the hay feeders are well distributed, so there's plenty of head space, so that nobody gets edged out, because that's one thing that goats are very good at, is saying, you're at the bottom of the totem pole, no food for you. Mm-hmm. So making sure there's plenty of head spaces for feed, for the hay, making sure the hay's well fluffed and readily accessible, making sure the water is not a solid block of ice, making sure that nothing silly has happened to anybody. Unfortunately, we had one that somehow managed to just get something stuck in her throat and suffocate. You watch for any problems. They're penned up right now in a relatively small paddock. They get bored. They start fighting. They have horns. So I'm checking for injuries. I'm checking for body condition. I'm checking for overall health of every animal. And that's the nice thing about bringing them in for grain 3 days a week, is that I can check every single animal individually, make sure her pregnancy's developing well, make sure she's healthy, make sure she hasn't gotten any injury, illness, she's not limping, she's not favoring something, she's eating her whole ration with vigor, she's not refusing food, just to keep sure that everybody's happy and healthy. In the spring, in a month, when the babies start, it's going to be my job to make sure that every baby comes into the world in a healthy, happy fashion, as best as we can manage, and try to keep all of them healthy and happy. Figure out who's staying and who's going. We usually only keep a few. Last year it was six. It's usually between five and six to keep our replacements at the right number, because, of course, too many goats on the limited amount of ground, and you have overgrazing and too much crowding, and then there's not enough food, and halfway through the summer you run out of graze, and then you have to buy in hay, and it's a problem. So you have to balance the number of animals with the amount of space. So this is what I'm in charge of as the farm manager. I have been working on grazing rotations. He has really nice infrastructure for rotation, but it hadn't been a part of the system when I started back a number of years ago now. And so getting rotational grazing in to help manage the worm load and keep everybody healthy, and making sure that the paddock is keeping up with the animals and the animals are keeping up with the paddock. And yeah, that's farm manager.
And then are you involved in the milking at all, or someone else?
Oh, I do most of the milking. The last year we had technically four milkers. And so out of 14 shifts a week, twice a day, 7 days a week, I was doing six. Sasha had one, Megan had four, and Jamie had, my brain is dead, the remainder, which would be three. So yeah, doing most of the milking. When Michelle goes out of town, I make cheese for her. I frequently do the pump over, clean the bulk tank. And then I also am mechanically inclined, so when things break, I assist sometimes with fixing them, depending on whether or not it's within the scope of my abilities. So.
And then you also have on your own farm sheep. You keep sheep.
Yes, I have sheep and goats and quite a long list. And I don't know how deep you want to get into it, but yeah, I have sheep and goats, and ponies, a bunny.
Could you
chickens,
take a whole just crew. Talk? Sorry. You talked just briefly about if you wanted to get into the business of having sheep that you've milked. Mm-hmm. You were explaining to me earlier about there are different types of goats, and different types of sheep. And
the biggest thing involved is infrastructure. I live on a lovely old farm that had been farmed for 150 years before they strip mined upstream and the acid mine washed it all away. And the farmer waited until his mother died and knocked all the barns down, because there was no point, because nothing could live there anymore. So I'm doing rotational mob grazing with my sheep to try to build the soil back up. You run the goats through first because it's really brushy, and then once the goats go through, you bring the sheep after, and then taking turns depending on what the situation is and what's growing where. If I wanted to go into dairying, for one thing, my genetics are not right for dairying. As I was telling you earlier, sheep dairying requires very specific genetics, because sheep have primarily been bred for meat and fleece. So they're not really bred to have big udders. And there's a... when an animal is lactating, they have their mammary tissue and the... I know it being called cistern, but I don't know what normal people call it. And if they don't have the capacity to hold a large volume of milk for a long time, they won't make more milk between milkings. And so if you are going to milk a sheep, you either have to have a sheep that is bred to milk, or you have to milk your sheep 8 times a day, because their babies are nursing on them constantly. They're just refilling. And if when an animal sits with milk in its udder, that's what tells it to dry off. So if you milk your sheep only 2 times a day, if she's not bred for it, she's going to dry off in a month, because she's got too much pressure on her udder telling her to stop making milk. So I'd have to change my genetics. I would have to put in a lot of infrastructure. Sheep infrastructure is fairly unique in that it's a wonderful hybrid of goats and cows. Cows require heavy-duty infrastructure because they're quite large. But at the same time, a cow can be held with a single strand of electric wire, and even they'll just look at it, and it can be a piece of a baling string. And they're like, oh, it's a string. I shouldn't cross that. Whereas a goat, you need really aggressive fencing because they will weasel through anything. Sheep, when they're frightened, will slam their bodies at wherever they think they can get away, because they have a very high prey drive, and when they're frightened, they explode. And whereas a frightened goat will not run through an electric fence because that hurts, they don't like it, a frightened sheep will go straight through an electric net and right onto the highway and right in front of a semi-truck. So you have to have a fence that is heavy duty enough to hold a cow and tight enough to hold a goat if you want to handle sheep, and especially in the confines of a milking parlor. The thing with ruminants, and sheep, cows, and goats are all ruminants, and they are all prey animals. And the thing with prey animals is walking into a small dark opening is not exactly their idea of a good life plan. So trying to convince, I milk cows as well for another dairy, and we always have a problem trying to convince the cows to walk into the parlor, because no matter how much we make sure it's well lit, they're going from a big pen where everybody is to a little narrow chute where nobody is, and you never know, this one time the wolf might come out and bite them because it is a small space and they can't turn around and it's scary. And if you magnify that, the cows will walk in. A goat, they want to go in there because there's food in there, because food is a high motivator for goats. But a sheep is less motivated by food and more strongly motivated by fear. And if you're trying to get a sheep into a small enclosed environment, they are going to be explosive. And it's the problem I have. I do milk my sheep occasionally, as I mentioned, particularly if I have somebody lose a baby and I can put some colostrum in the freezer. But trying to convince them to hold still and tolerate it has always been an issue, because it's a very traumatic experience for them. And I do have, it's interesting, Sasha was mentioning that sheep aren't very friendly. I have a bottle baby, and she thinks she's a dog, and she believes that she should live in my lap. Or pocket. If my pocket has biscuits in it, she should definitely be in my pocket. So some sheep are friendly and sociable, but it doesn't matter how friendly she is. If she thinks her life's in danger, she's not going in a milking parlor. So you have to be really aggressive with handling your sheep if you want to have them be handleable, you need to start with babies, and you need to walk them through your prospective parlor every day. Your parlor needs to have no pointy edges anywhere that they can tear themselves up on, lots of rounded corners, solid metal, and they need to go through it from the time that they are babies and be handled every day from the time that they are babies, or they're not gonna put up with it. So yeah, that's sheep. Goats are a little bit different. Still, though, the goats at Chris's, I finally instituted this year. I got to have some say in the matter, and we raised our kids on the mother instead of bottle feeding them this year. So instead of feeding them formula, which we've had a couple times in the past, had bad formula, and that can really not do well for your babies. So we left the babies on the moms this year, Chris's, at Integration Acres, the goats. And trying to train those babies to walk through the parlor after their mothers has been like training ferrets. Theoretically possible, but not an easy task. Because they can squirm through all the holes their mothers can't. And they find all the holes and go, oh, look! So first, there's teaching them to walk through the gates. And now we're starting to, over the winter, nobody's lactating, so I'm going and feeding them three times a week. And we're starting to learn about having to have our heads shut in the stanchions and actually having to hold still the entire time and let somebody touch your udder. And it's definitely an uphill battle. And that's something we've always had a problem with, even with bottle babies, is when they first kid, getting them used to being handled and not kicking off the milker and just getting used to it. Some of them take right to it. Some of them are really chill. Some of them are not. They're a little more tightly wound. And that's one thing to think about it as a prospective farmer, is temperament is something you can breed for. If you buy a kid from a spastic mother, chances are it's going to be a little bit more high-strung. I mean, father's genetics as well, and you never know genetic roulette, but it's really good if you can find a calm mother for your babies when you're just starting out, because it will make your life easier.
Yep, I agree.
So
what do you think is the best advice you've gotten in your career working with animals?
Where there's livestock, there's dead stock. Because as much as it's nice to talk about cute babies and all your happy favorite animals, every single one of them will die at some point. Unfortunately, there is no elixir of youth, and everybody dies eventually. Whether they die young of something stupid, or they die of old age and congestive heart failure, like my first ewe, they will all die. And that is hard, especially if you get emotionally attached, or it's somebody with really nice genetics, or what have you.
Do you think farmers blame themselves when these things happen?
Yes, always. Almost invariably. Occasionally, there are things that cannot be prevented. Lynn and Eric, who I milk the cows for, they've lost cows to lightning, and there's nothing you can do. But other than proverbial acts of God, I mean, I lost a beautiful three-day-old lamb to a hay feeder, and it doesn't ever get easier. And, you know, the stupid preventable deaths are always the hardest ones. The ones where you fight and try and try and they still die anyway, those really suck too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think there's... Self-recrimination is definitely part of farming. Be prepared for that emotional roller coaster. Yeah. Ice cream helps.
Ice cream helps. Okay, no, that's the advice. There's the advice. Ice cream helps. Okay, I got that one. I'm going to remember that one. We better put that in big letters up in the barn. Ice cream helps. Thank you. That was great. Thanks to Celeste Taylor for sharing her ideas and expertise.